Welcome to our service, and a special welcome to any visitors that we have with us this morning. Following the service, tea and coffee are served through in the main hall, and there's a tradecraft stall there as well. Intimations are contained within the order of service, and I'll leave you to look through them. There are no additional ones to add to them. Very pleased to welcome this morning the Reverend David Hutchison, who's going to lead us in worship. David is chaplain at the University of Aberdeen and is well known to many of you. David, welcome to Cuddeskirk.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back among you all. As you've heard, David is my name. I grew up in Aberdeen. My father was minister at Rubislaw Church during my growing up years, and then, of course, he became a hospital chaplain, and that may have been what prompted me, when the time arose, to choose chaplaincy as my ministry. So I'm here again at the invitation of Shuna. Or at least I'm here again for you guys, but for the first time at Shuna's request. And I know and love Shuna a great deal, and I'm very pleased to be back among you. Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Friends, let us do just that. Hymn 129. The Lord is King. Lift up your voice. Hymn 129. Lord is King, lift up your voice. Let earth and all the heavens rejoice. From world to world the joy shall ring. The Lord omnipotent is King. Friends, let's pray together. Gracious God, we arrive this morning with so much on our minds. We arrive with lists of jobs to do, people to meet, emails to send, things to buy, things to do. And yet, we sing these incredible words of praise and adoration. And so in the middle of our chaotic lives, we come to you now, in this place, at this time, to seek you. Quieten our hearts and our minds. Help us be still and know that you are God. We come to lift your name high, to put you back in charge of our lives, to pay homage and to thank you. For we all thank you for the summer sun, the summer warmth, the holiday season. We thank you for family to share our joys, friends who join us through good times and bad, food to eat, our homes and our health. And yet, when our homes are empty, when friends are thin on the ground, when food loses its flavor and our health is weak, remind us all that in you we have a trustworthy friend, a Lord and Savior, our way, our truth, and our life. In all times, in all places. Thank you, living and loving Lord. All too often when we catalogue our blessings, we are reminded of how few times we acknowledge their source. We become aware of our shortcomings. Forgive us all, loving God, for our pride, our selfishness, our unwillingness to put you first in our lives. Forgive us all, we pray. Remake us. Remold us until we once again resemble your Son, who is our Lord, who taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll be reflecting on the story of David and Goliath this morning. And it struck me that a worthwhile project this morning for us all would be to think of and to be reminded of when small things have an immense impact or make a huge difference. And of course, I did, and in fact, they're here. I did bring one or two small things, but then it struck me, if I hold up my hand and say, look at the seed, everyone, you're not going to know if it's there. But I did. I brought some seeds. And I brought a stamp. But seriously, a seed is a tremendous example of something so minute that in due time has a massive difference to our lives. A stamp, taking a letter, a love letter to a distant boyfriend or girlfriend, a letter to the PM to demand change. So I thought about a seed, I thought about a stamp. I also, and I don't know if my primary school teacher is here today, Mrs. Buchan, but I was determined to remind her that plankton, see, I just want to show off how plankton, so very minute, and yet it, as a myriad of life forms, energize our oceans and thus energize our world today. Small things making a massive difference. I spoke to my 8-year-old son and I told him about the seed and the stamp and the plankton. I said, Fraser, what do you think of when I ask for something small that makes a big difference? He thought, and he said, a button. An 8-year-old. And I did not see that coming. But I'm guessing, you know, the button that keeps your trousers up. Very good. He said, no, Dad. No. When you press a wee button. Many things can happen. And then, somewhat worryingly, he said, Donald Trump has a wee button. I cannot fathom where my 8-year-old is going in life, but he probably is right. A small button can make a big difference. Small things, yes. Small people, David, the youngest child, with his sling, no sword, no armor, small on every level, and yet what a difference that made that day back then. Small things, small people, and how often we need reminding that God will honor and bless not just the children among us, but all of us who maybe feel small. I so wanted to sing In the Bleak Midwinter, but I thought if I send Marjorie my hymn title, she'll think, Shuna, ask. However, before we sing our next hymn, I did want to read the final verse of In the Bleak Midwinter. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. Hymn 528, make me, all of us, a channel of your peace.
Our first reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and reading verses 32 to 51. And this is David and Goliath. And you find it on page 285 of the Good News Bible. Some men heard that what David had said, and they told Saul, who sent for him. David said to Saul, "Your Majesty, no one should be afraid of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." "No," answered Saul. "How could you fight him? You're just a boy, and he's been a soldier all his life." "Your Majesty," David said, "I take care of my father's sheep. Whenever a lion or bear carries off a lamb, I go after it, attack it, and rescue the lamb. And if the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and beat it to death. I've killed lions and bears, and I will do the same to this heathen Philistine who's defied the army of the living God. The Lord has saved me from lions and bears, and he will save me from this Philistine." "All right," Saul answered. "Go, and the Lord be with you." He gave his own armor to David for him to wear, a bronze helmet which he put in David's head, and a coat of armor. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor and tried to walk, but he couldn't because he wasn't used to wearing them. "I can't fight with all this," he said to Saul. "I'm not used to it." So he took it all off. He took his shepherd's stick and then picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his bag. With his catapult ready, he went out to meet Goliath. The Philistine started walking towards David with his shield bearer walking in front of him. He kept coming closer, and when he got a good look at David, he was filled with scorn for him, because he was just a nice, good-looking boy. He said to David, "What's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog?" And he called down curses from his God on David. "Come on," he challenged David, "and I will give your body to the birds and animals to eat." David answered, "You're coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the Israelite armies which you have defied. This very day the Lord will put you in my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head. And I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God, and everyone here will see that the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power." Goliath started walking towards David again, and David ran quickly towards the Philistine battle line to fight him. He put his hand into his bag and took out a stone, which he slung at Goliath. It hit him in the forehead and broke his skull, and Goliath fell face downwards on the ground. And so, without a sword, David defeated and killed Goliath with a catapult and a stone. Goliath's sword out of its... He ran over to him, he stood over him, took Goliath's sword out of its shield and cut off his head and killed him. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they ran away. Second reading is from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus feeds 5,000 men. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked round and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There's a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but there'll certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word.
Thanks, Bruce. Hymn 255. Father, hear the prayer we offer. Hymn 255. Thank you. One of the problems with the David and Goliath story is how often it's assumed to be a children's story. And of course, it is a fantastic kids' story. Big mouth, big body, big head, big sword. Wee boy, wee sling, wee shepherd boy. No armor, no training. Oh. And I tell you, when I was growing up, the fact that he was called David, I just loved it. It was my story. And my father had a couple of pilgrimages in the Holy Land, and he'd brought home a woven sling. So I honestly could stand there with the authentic sling in my hand and say, "Don't you dare cross me. I'm good." The story, when I hear about Goliath slinging out his "choose one of your number, let them come and defeat me." And then I hear David saying, "Hey, choose me." I think the first point I want to make is that this story is not about arrogance, or it is in Goliath's case. But in David's case, it is not arrogance, it is faith that shines through. I'm sorry, I will freely confess, I have a big problem with people who are full of themselves. It's to my shame. I know I should make friends and talk and so forth. But of course, Goliath is detestable. He's big and he's full of himself. But David's approach is not arrogance. "Send me, I'll do him down." You know, I think the same about David until he utters, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." This shepherd boy is not arrogant. His strength, his confidence is bound to his familial faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel. So let's be absolutely clear. This is not a story about arrogance, or at least it is in Goliath's case. But truly understood, this is a story of faith. I think the second point I want to make is, all too often we make assumptions based on appearances. And Saul was entirely doing that. Ooh, here's a giant man with all the armor, the big sword, the big words. Saul infected his armies. They were all in fear. And yet, it was so much about appearances. And some things never change. Let's acknowledge that, all of us. How many of us make our judgments based on clothing? based on titles, based on wealth, based on looks, beauty. I read an astonishing story, and some of you may have read it also. Brian Keenan recorded his memories of his being taken hostage in Beirut in the late 1980s, along with Terry Waite, John McCarthy, and others. Brian Keenan wrote about his own encounter with the people who took him hostage. And the telling thing for Brian Keenan was he recalls that his guards were wielding their AK-47s or whatever machine guns they were. And then you can picture Brian Keenan chained to the walls. And Brian Keenan says, "Who's the one with power here?" And Brian said, "I am. And that's why I'm in chains." We need to look afresh at how we look at other people, at situations, and be reminded that what we look at, what we see, may not be the full content. David somehow, not me, shepherd boy David, somehow reckoned, big though Goliath was, big though his sword was, that would not feature in this battle. My faith in God is what will carry the day here. Christ himself was seldom esteemed. Isaiah 53, "He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Let's be careful about looking at the outside, looking at appearances, be it wealth, titles, clothing, beauty, whatever. Be careful, because what we need to reach is an understanding of what a person is. Lastly, as I've hinted at, this is a story not simply for kids. This is a story for all of us who feel, even occasionally, small or irrelevant or weak, or that we're just here to make up the numbers. Let us never, ever assume that sitting at the very back, and no offense to anyone sitting at the back, let us never assume that sitting at the back, sitting on our hands, saying nothing, with our head bowed, is humility. David's story is about a small boy, yes, who bizarrely was full of himself, and yet faith conquered the whole scenario. So the story is to encourage us and to challenge us. to stand up for our faith, small that though that may be. David said, the whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. We need to look again at ourselves. We don't have Philistine armies amassing across the river, thank God. We aren't quivering for our lives in fear. By golly, we're not, and thank God. But all of us have our giants to slay. Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it lying? Is it arrogance? Is it our online activity? Is it our laziness? Is it family feuds? Each of us knows deep, deep down that there are things about us and within us that need dismantled, that need to be taken down. Never assume that you're being humble by doing nothing. And we may well feel very small next to our problems. But David proves that even with our humble tools, we can tackle whatever is in front of us. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. If David can utter these words before Goliath, surely there is hope for each and every one of us, small though we may occasionally feel, to beat whatever giant problem is around you or within you. There is hope. Amen. I, the Lord of sea and sky. Hymn 251. Hymn 251.
Thank you.
We continue our worship by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Loving Lord, all that we have, all that we are, is thanks to your grace and favor. As we present these, our offerings, we offer them as a token of our gratitude and thanks. Accept them, we pray. And may they further your will here in this place and beyond these shores. In Christ's name we ask. Let us pray for our church here today, but across the land. Generous God, we thank you for this, our home church, with friends and neighbors and fellow members from all over who accompany us on our journey, share our burdens, and celebrate our joys. We pray not just for the church here in Cults, and our minister, Shuna. But we also pray for the church across Scotland, that she may challenge politicians and councillors to serve our communities aright and neglect self-interest. We pray for the church worldwide, that she may always seek to overthrow injustice, heal the sick, serve the poor, wherever we may find them. Let us pray for our health service, God of health and healing. We thank you for the sterling work of our nurses, doctors, consultants, surgeons, domestic staff, therapists, managers, chaplains, countless people who seek to serve us when we are ill. Gracious God, help us all to appreciate their work and care and professionalism, and grant them the patience, the strength, and the determination to work in the face of depleted resources. Lord of mercy, restore to health our health service, we pray. And in a moment of quiet, let us pray for the people we know, the people we know and love, who are struggling in any way, for whatever reason. Let us pray for them by name now. And listen to Christ's words to us all. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. We thank you, loving Lord, that in you we have a gracious and ever-giving God, more willing to give than we are to ask. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn 641. Hymn 641, O Jesus, I have promised. friends, go from here in peace and love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Redeemer, and Sustainer, and descend upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.